Amen. What a privilege it is to be here today, tonight, this evening. So good to see you all. Wonderful to be in service with you, as always, as it always is. This is like coming home for us. We love being here. Y'all have welcomed us with open arms, and we're usually in here hot and sweaty and working, and y'all still are kind to us, and even though we stink and smell like wet, sweaty dogs, and y'all are always nice to us, but it's just wonderful to be here. So good to see everyone. So good to see so many friends and whether you like it or not, family that we have made in the last few years working here and being here. Tonight I realize that it is a school night and a work night, and we have other things to do, and so I'm going to hasten quickly to the text, and we will get through a sermon here very, very quickly. I will not hold you long, but it is an honor. I want to say that it is an honor to be here behind this desk, behind this pulpit. I hold Pastor and very high revere in my life. He's a wonderful man of God that y'all were blessed with, and he has been wonderful to us. Him and Sister Shostrand have just loved us very much and been very kind to us, and we love y'all. Thank y'all so much for allowing us to be here like again, and Pastor, thank you for your kindness and friendship to us. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, if I can get you to turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 4. I'll read a few scriptures there. Now, I am a Southern boy at heart. I am a Buckeye, though. My back of my truck even has a OHIO sticker on it, so I am still a Buckeye when it comes to the important things. I am a Southern boy, so I may throw out some y'alls, and I may throw out some oral, and you know, who knows what you'll hear up here. So if you need any translation, just stop me, and I can slow it down or speed it up or do whatever we need to do to make sure you understand. But I ask you to bear with me for a few moments as I read this, and as Southern vernacular as I could probably get to, and I'll try my best to clean it up, all right? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 is where I'll start reading. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Verse 2, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Verse 3, "Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few." Verse 4, "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." Verse 5, "So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out." Verse 6, "And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed." Verse 7, "Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil and pay the debt. And live thou and thy children off of the rest." One more scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." In the story that I read to you, the widow woman came to Elisha and she said, "My husband is dead and we have nothing. And now they are taking my sons into slavery and they are going to work off the debts that I owe. I owe the bondsman money and unfortunately I don't have the money to pay it. So they're going to come and take my children and they're going to take them into slavery and they're going to make them work until the debt is paid in full." And so she said, "Elisha, can you help me? Can you do something that will help us get out of this bad situation?" And Elisha looks at her and asks her the question, "What do you have? What do you have? What do you possess?" And she replied, "I've got nothing but a pot of oil. All I have is a single pot of oil." Elisha says unto her, "Go and borrow of all thy neighbors. Go to your neighbor's house. Go to your cousin's house. Go to your auntie's house. Find empty vessels and borrow not a little bit," he said, "but I want you to borrow a bunch. Get as many as you can, as many vessels as you can find." And so they did as they were told, and they went and they borrowed vessels. And the Bible tells us that they brought back many vessels, and they brought them and they set them on the floor, and they closed up the doors, and they began to pour the oil from the one vessel that she owned. And she began to pour the oil, and as she poured the oil, she continued to pour. And then she continued to pour, and she continued to pour. And the Bible says, Elisha said, I want you to pour all that you can. And he said, then I want you to take it and sell it. And you're going to pay off your debt. You're going to live off the rest of it. You see, sometimes our self-recognition that we need something from God or that we need help from God will require us to empty out the junk that is in our lives. If I can have a little liberty for just a moment, I'd like to remind you that sometimes we fill up ourselves on things that we need to empty from our lives. We are so quick to become full. And through a thing that we call repentance, which is a change in lifestyle, we begin to empty ourselves. The woman had a choice. She was given a choice. She could have only borrowed one vessel, or she could have borrowed two or three. But Elisha said, if you really want something from God, then go get as many vessels as you can. Go find as many that are available to you. The promise from God was that the more that we can give to God, the more that he can fill us. I read to you also Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you hunger and you seek after God, he will fill you. Blessed are those who are empty. Why? Because they'll be filled. You see, revival comes in our own lives and in our homes and in our churches when we begin to recognize that we are empty and that we need more of something. Even as we begin to try to reach into our cities and as we reach into our counties and we reach into the areas around us, God will not fill what is already an occupied space. You see, God doesn't share space with anything else. He doesn't share space with anything else that will take away from his glory and his authority. If she had poured the oil in an already full jar, she would have done nothing more than make a mess and wasted the oil that she was pouring. God knew that if she had poured the oil into a jar that was full, if you fill up a bucket that's already got water in it, then you're just wasting water. If you fill up a 5-gallon can of gasoline that's full of gasoline, then you're just spraying gasoline all over the floor. It's a waste. It's not a blessing. It doesn't matter how much you pour out on the floor. You've wasted it. God said, I'm not going to allow that to happen. My presence will not be wasted. Only the amount of emptiness that we can give God is the amount that God can refill. God said, find all the emptiness you can and I'll fill it. As much as you bring to me, as many empty vessels as you bring to me, I will fill them up. But if you come with full already, then there's nothing I can do for you. If you show up to church and everything that you from around you has filled you up and you come here and there's no empty space in your heart or mind, then God has nothing that he can fill. There's no place for him. Our volume of emptiness determines our filling, and not only our filling, but it determines our future. One vessel of oil would not have paid off the debts of her that she had acquired, and it would not have given her enough for her living. If she had stopped at one, she would have crippled the blessing that God had for her. If she would have filled up just one nice jar, you know what, that's cool. God doubled what we had. It wouldn't have been enough to pay off a debt that she owed. Her sons would have still gone into slavery. It wouldn't have been enough to bless her life and to change it. You see, our biggest problem sometimes is our diet. Right now, I'm traveling with my business partner, Jeff. And if you haven't had a chance to talk to him, then you're welcome. Thank you for staying away from him because we're trying to keep you saved and sanctified. I'm just kidding. He's up in the room there. But he's been telling everybody all week long that he's a vegan now. He says, I don't eat anything that has a face on it. And they said, well, what about you're eating meat there? He's like, well, I don't see the face. So he's been eating everything he wants. We were at the donut shop the other night. I have to be honest here. We stopped by the Jolly Pirate over there. And he walked in and he said, I want a donut, but I don't want anything that has yeast or sugar. She looked at him like, every donut we have is yeast or sugar. But he's been on a diet this week, but his diet is questionable at best. I've been watching. I've been keeping count. I'm just kidding. Not really. But our biggest problem sometimes is our diet. We stuff ourselves on spiritual junk food. We stuff ourselves on things that are not really what we're... See, what happens is when you eat 4 donuts before dinner, you're not really hungry for the dinner that mama has cooked for you. So many times you come home from school. When I was a little kid, I'd get in from school and I would run to the counter and I'd grab some cookies or some chips or whatever it was that she had and I'd go play. And the first thing she'd say is what? Stop, you're going to... spoil your dinner. You're going to ruin your dinner. What are you doing, boy? Get outside and quit eating because you're going to spoil your dinner. I used to think to myself, there's no way I could spoil my dinner. There's nothing that tastes better than cookies, right? I've made it all better by eating cookies first. But the truth of the matter is the nutrients that I needed, the things that were good for me, what it was that Mom knew that I should partake of, I wasn't going to get because my stomach was full of something else already. What I needed, I would not get because I was filled up on something that I had no use for. Sometimes this is the way that we experience God's power. And we come and we casually nibble at the presence of God. We casually nibble at what we have around, and we get a little taste here and a little taste there, and we go home and we're not really changed because we're not really experienced what God has for us because we're filled up on other things. We stuff ourselves with entertainment and pleasure. We're more excited about Hollywood's latest output of TV or movies or filth than we are about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so when God tries to move in us, we are too full. And we have no room in our vessels. God is calling us, his people, to the next level. We are at the end time. And the latter rain is promised to be greater than the former rain that happened in the book of Acts. And we are there. But what happens so many times is that when God is calling us to move and to do something, we can't do it because we have spiritual indigestion. We filled up our emptiness with junk food and waste and things that don't matter. Things that have no eternal value. But God is looking for a clean and an empty place to dwell. In my church, the last few weeks, we've been studying the tabernacle on our Bible study night. And I've been teaching on the tabernacle, teaching about the presence of God and how the tabernacle was a type and a shadow of exactly how we are to get to God and exactly how we are to grow in God. And when we find it, if you ever study, I'm sure y'all have here, pastors taught so much great things to you. But when we look for God and we find him, he's in the tabernacle and he's always sitting in the empty space between the cherubims. The empty space that we call the mercy seat. He's always there between the cherubims. Because God inhabits a place that is clean and that is empty. As I said a minute ago, he will not compete for space. He wants room to fill. But we come to church, we go through life so full of the cares of this life and the worries and the stress and the distractions that our vessels are too full. And God is calling us to a place as we approach the end time. God is calling us to a place where we will begin to start collecting more empty spaces. We will begin to start collecting more empty vessels that he can fill. Because God is looking for a place to dwell. God is looking for a place that he can develop, a place that he can move into. You see, the Bible tells us that he is a holy God and he will not live where sin is. He will not reign if sin is there. And so we go through life and we play the game and we're all guilty of it, thinking, well, I'll just repent tomorrow. And we play with grace and mercy as if it is something that we can just throw around and we go live how we want to live. And then we go to church and we say, hey, you know what? I'm here. This is what I need. And we come asking for God to move in our lives. And all of a sudden we realize that there's no place for him to dwell because our vessel is full. Our vessel has become filled with everything else. God says, will you give me a place? You see, satisfaction is the greatest enemy of God's work. When we become satisfied with where we are, when we become satisfied with what we have in God, when it's enough to just show up on Sunday and it's enough to just show up on Wednesday and it's enough to make it to a prayer meeting every once in a while when I got time and that's enough for us, then the will of God is not being fulfilled in our life. And God says, I'm looking for an empty vessel that I can fill. And so he asks us the question, what are you filled with? What are you filled with? What have you gone and done? What is it that you've been snacking on? Yeah, I know you got home from school and I saw your hand in the cookie jar. And now it's time for you to eat your roast beef and you're not hungry. Because you're filled. We were talking today about our mashed potatoes and noodles. How that becomes a meal in itself. And the problem is, if you're filled up on cakes and cookies and chips, you don't want to eat what God has for you. You don't want to enjoy what God is trying to give you. You don't want to go to the place where God is calling you. And so Elisha tells the lady, he says, go and get vessels and begin to pour in them. And you'll find that they'll fill with oil. And so they begin to fill the vessels with oil. And they went to their neighbors and they got vessels and they began to fill them. They went to their neighbors and they got vessels and they filled them. And they filled up all the vessels that they could find. And she gets to the end and she says, you know what, bring me another one. And he looks around and he says, there's not any more. We filled up every empty vessel we could find. We filled up every empty vessel that was available to us. There's nowhere else to put any more oil. Everything that we needed has now been provided for us. And Elisha said, I want you to take that. Take that oil and sell it and pay off your debt. You see, every one of us in the room, we owed a debt. We owe a debt. The debt was paid for us on Calvary. It was given through the life of Jesus Christ. And he paid for us a death. You see, the wages of sin are death. The price of sin is death. And you and I all owe that price because we all have sin and everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we owe a debt that we could not afford to pay because your blood and my blood is not important enough. Your blood and my blood is not precious enough to cover the cost. And so Jesus said, I will take upon me your debt and I will pay that price. And so just as the widow woman, she said, look, my sons, I can't afford the debt. I can't afford to pay it. I don't know what I'm going to do. They're going to take my sons into slavery and I'm going to lose them. But God provided for her a way to pay her debt. In the same sense for you and I, he's provided a way for us to pay a price that we could not owe, that we could not pay. And much more than we could ever afford. You and I were slaves to sin. But he said, I will cover that for you. I will pay that for you. And so they took the vessels that were filled, the empty vessels, and filled them with oil. And they took the ones that were full, and they took them and sold them. And the Bible says, Elisha said, it's going to give you enough money to not only pay the debt that you owed, but it's also going to give you enough money to give you a good life for the rest of your life. It's going to take care of you and your children. He said, everything that you need is going to be provided. Not only your past, but everything for your future is taken care of. When we obey God, God takes care of us. When we come to him with an empty vessel, say, God, I need you. He says, I'm not going to only cover your past, the sins that you've lived in, the sins that you've committed, but I'm going to give you an abundant life future. I'm going to give you everything that you need to make it. And so the question is, are you filled? What are you filled with tonight? Are you filled with his presence or are you filled with other things? Have you spoiled your dinner? Have you ruined your dinner tonight? What is in your vessel? We seek life abundantly, and we seek it, unfortunately, so many times in the wrong places. We think that going to the latest event or the latest happening or planning for the next big vacation, and there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. I love it. Love going on vacation with my family, but the truth of the matter is that I've never come back from a vacation thinking to myself, I'll never have to go on another vacation again. Because they've never fulfilled me to completeness. I've never been on a vacation that was so great that I didn't want another one the moment I returned home. I get back from vacation hoping I can go on vacation again. God, please give me another week of vacation. Because the truth of the matter is that it fills me up for a moment, but it is but a fleeting moment. And then all of a sudden, there needs to be something else. All of a sudden, I need more. Because the truth of the matter is that unless I fill my vessel with Matthew, as we read in Matthew, unless I fill my vessel with Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? For they shall be filled. The only way I can be filled, the only way that my life can be changed is when I hunger and thirst after his righteousness. And I let him fill me up. When he fills my vessel, I no longer have to seek for all the other answers. It's not a vacation that I'm keep looking for. It's not another trip. It's not another fix. It's not another event that'll bring me up and make me happy for a little while. But all of a sudden now he has filled my vessel. And so the question is tonight, If your vessel is empty, what are you filling it with? What are you filling it with? Are you filling it with the fun and the excitement? There's nothing wrong with any of that. I love vacations. I love having fun. I love going to amusement parks. I love doing all these great things. I love to eat, as you can tell, without a question. I love all these great things that are wonderful. But when I begin to be filled with those to the point that I have no room for what God really wants from me, then I'm wasting it all. So the question I have is just simple tonight. What are you filled with? My prayer for you and my prayer in my life, my prayer in all that we do, is that the Lord will come and fill our empty vessels. You say, but you know what? Ryan, my vessel's full. I come tonight and my vessel is filled, and I really sometimes I don't feel like I have room for anything else. Well, the best way to empty our vessel is through repentance. Say, God, I need you to change me. I need you to change what it is that captures my attention, what it is that captures me, because I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness so that I can be filled. And once you repent, once you empty your vessel, once you lay it all at the altar, lay it all at his feet, then the prayer is simple. God, fill my empty vessel. God, fill this empty space that is in my heart. Fill this empty space in my life. I want to have life. I need help for the past, but I want to have life in the future. I want enough to cover my sins and the mistakes that I made, but I also want to live abundantly for the rest of my life. And when you're walking around with a full vessel, your life is changed forever. You say, I don't get it. I don't understand why everybody wants to be at church all the time. I don't understand why everybody gets excited about going to church events. The answer is because my vessel is full. And when I get here in his presence, there's that moment when you enter into his presence and all your worries and all your strife and all the things that you're going through, it can disappear very fast. And you find the joy of the Lord. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Where do I get my joy from? My joy comes from him. And when I get into his presence and all the cares of life go away and all the worries and the strife and the work day that stinks, and you got a boss like mine, it's terrible. I'm the boss. It's terrible. The guy's a jerk all the time. I can't stand listening to him. I want to fight with him all day long. You go home and the kids are screaming. And they're fighting each other and they're fighting you. And you say, I just want somebody to do something I tell them to do. Or I'm going to kill everybody in the house. When life is real, as life happens, we always hear from preachers and people and these motivational speakers, and they forget that we really live life. Life is real and we go through it. Sometimes we have good days and sometimes we have really, really, really bad days. In those moments is when I come to him and I say, God, I really need you to fill my vessel because I can't do it like this anymore. And that's in the moments where you find him to be the best. And that life, abundant life, it's not about riches. It's not about wealth. We've gotten that all wrong. People get that. What is abundant life? Oh, man, it means you're going to have blessings. Well, who cares? Abundant life means that when the worst comes against me, I can still stand and smile and say, you know what? I have a hope. I have a future. I know where I'm going. It may not be where I want to be right now, but I know where I'm going because I have a hope. I have a joy. I have a salvation. I have a peace that passes all understanding. I know it doesn't make sense, but I can get through it. Because he's on my side and he has filled my empty vessel. Yes, so tonight I challenge you. I don't know if you normally do altar calls or how it works on Wednesday night. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to empty your vessel of all the things of this world. So unnecessary. There's nothing wrong with having fun. There's nothing wrong with vacation. I'm not preaching against any of that, Lord. Heaven forbid. But I'm telling you, don't get full on the things of this world. Don't ruin your supper with the cookies and the chips and the cakes, because those really don't have any value for you. You're going to burn them up. They're just going to make you lazy and tired. They're not going to do any good for you. But instead, come with an empty vessel and say, God, I need you to fill my empty vessel. Repentance brings emptiness, and Jesus is just waiting to fill the emptiness in our soul. God bless you. I love you. Let your prayer be, Lord, fill my empty vessel.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. I appreciate the word.